Hey y'all. Y'all, I'm excited. I'm excited for this one, y'all. I really am because repentance has saved my life, y'all. I truly believe that I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be where I am right now without repentance. And so, we're going to talk about repentance. We're going to talk about renouncing. We're going to talk about things, and we're not just looking at abortion, okay? So I can talk to y'all for days and weeks and months and months and months and months and months and months about abortion, but then people get to the point where like, oh, I ain't had no abortion. I shouldn't listen to her. I haven't had no abortion. I shouldn't, follow this process when this ain't got nothing to do. Like, abortion is just my story. Those are the examples that I can give to y'all because that's my testimony. I can share that and I can free somebody who's had an abortion, who haven't. But if you have sinned, the process still applies to you. Repentance is not just for abortion. Renouncing is not just for abortion. And I think sometimes we get it twisted and we think like, oh, I shouldn't listen to what this person has to say because they have experienced something that I haven't experienced. And we don't even realize that we have to take what we need. So you'll start seeing posts coming out on my Girl Get Your Voice Back page. Eventually, I want to say between now and mid-June, and they'll say take what you need because you take what you need. You don't gotta, like some things people say, you don't have to take everything. You take what you need. You take what God is speaking to you because you may have never had an abortion yourself. But you may understand what it's like to experience condemnation. You may understand what it's like to feel the guilt and the shame after sin. And so you can still follow this RFCC method process no matter what your experience has been because it still applies. You understand? And so we're talking about repenting and renouncing. And so this is for you if you're ready to break the cycle of sin, or if you're ready to break the cycle of condemnation and shame and guilt off of your life. Because you can be in a place where it's like, well, I repented for my sin, but you still are experiencing the condemnation cycle because there's still some things you need to deal with. And so I want to let you know, freedom is available. And I gotta say that because you might hear people say, oh, this is available to you, this is available to you, this is available to you. But sometimes when we're in certain seasons in our life, when we have done certain things, we truly believe that I can't be forgiven. We truly believe, like, oh, I'll never experience healing, or I'll never experience freedom, or you think it's a process. And the Lord has showed me so many times. Specifically via dreams, that there's people, specifically women, because that's my ministry. There's women who are in cages, right? And they're feeling bound, they're feeling shackled, they're feeling like they can't get out, they're feeling like there's no escape. And every time in these dreams, or these visions, the cage is unlocked. The cage is open. And it's not enough for the cage to be open. It's not enough for the doors to be open and the thing to be unlocked if you don't know that it's available to you. Because you can be in the cage, the key can be in the cage, the door could be swinging open, and you will not move your feet because of fear. You will not move your feet because you think that the person who got you there is not going to allow you to leave. You cannot move your feet because you truly don't believe. No matter how many times somebody can tell you freedom is available to you, you do not believe that it's available to you. So you make a decision out of fear, out of doubt, out of unbelief to stay in a cage that is open and freedom is available. But you won't tap into it because you don't believe. So let's talk about repentance. when I'm talking about freedom is available to you, your first step is repentance. And repentance is, synonyms for repentance is to apologize. It is to atone, to deplore, or to relent. And repentance is when you feel remorse. We talked about this in the last video. When you feel remorse and you acknowledge your actions, your part in the sin, when you take responsibility, okay? And when you get into the New Testament and you look at repentance even further, it's more than just you saying, Lord, I'm sorry. It's more than you just saying, Lord, you know, I repent for having the abortion, right? But when you get into the New Testament of the Bible, it also speaks to repentance being a turning away from sin. So you make a conscious decision to be like, okay, Lord, I repent. And I'm using my example. I repent for this abortion, Lord. I choose today to take full responsibility for my actions without making excuses, without trying to justify, without trying to rationalize, without trying to shift the blame to anybody else. I fully take responsibility for my actions of having this abortion, and I repent, and I choose today to turn away from my sin. I choose today to not partake in that again. I choose today to not have another abortion. And now I began to renounce things. Okay, but we'll talk about renouncing later. And so many people believe that repentance is all about asking God for forgiveness and then just being able to sin again, right? So you have people like, oh Lord, I'm sorry that I lied. I'm sorry that I slept with this dude. I'm sorry, Lord. Please forgive me. And he's like, I forgive you, daughter. I forgive you, son. But then you keep going back to that same woman. You keep going back to that same guy. You keep going back and doing the same thing that you literally have already repented for. And people think that that's repentance, but true repentance requires a transformation to take place. It requires you to fully turn away and put your back toward that thing. So if you find yourself constantly struggling in the same sin over and over and over again, it stands to reason that repentance, true repentance, hasn't happened. You haven't fully committed in your heart that you're done with that thing. Okay. And so this begins to fall into the category of abusing grace. So sin may abound. And that's when we begin to make excuses. Well, Lord, I know I asked you to forgive me, but I just can't. I can't stop this thing. Like, I don't know why. I just feel so weak. I can't. Every time he asks to come over, I just say yes. Every time, you know, we was just on Netflix and chill, but Lord, I don't know what happened. The music was playing and it just happened. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, no, true repentance is when you change your mind about that sin and make a decision and a commitment to turn away from it and not do it again. And sometimes we try to be like, that's so hard. It's so hard to stop doing this thing. It's so hard. No. Holy Spirit will help you. Holy Spirit will empower you. Holy Spirit will strengthen you. And here's a great example. Here's a great example. Oh, and maybe I didn't. I think I did talk about Jonah already before the last video, or maybe I had just planned this out and then I thought I'd talk about it, but I didn't. Anywho, but here's a great example, okay, of repentance. And so in the book of Jonah, in Jonah chapter 3, we know that God sends Jonah to Nineveh. And he wants Jonah's assignment is to warn the people that the city is going to be overthrown, that God is finna come and destroy y'all. Jonah's assignment is to go and warn the people that the city is going to be overthrown and it's going to happen in 40 days. It's going to happen in 40 days. This is Jonah's simple assignment. And in response, we know Jonah fought that thing. And Jonah had to deal with some things. But by the grace and mercies of God, Jonah got to it, right? And so Jonah goes and he warns the people. And what did the people of Nineveh do? It says they believed God. They knew they were wicked. They knew they were out of control. And so they believed God. And they went on this corporate citywide fast, right? They went on this corporate fast. And not only the people, but also the king. They went on this fast and they began to cry out to God. And they repented. And in Jonah chapter 3, verse 8, it says, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. And in response to their repentance, in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, God saw that they had done this repentance corporately. And it says that God repented of the evil that he had planned for them. He repented of the evil that he said that he was going to do, and he did it not. And so we see what happens when not only we ourselves repent for the sin that we've done, but what happens when a whole community, when a whole city, when a whole nation decide to repent? Kings, not just common people, but when people in high places, when people in leadership positions get into a place and they're like, hey, we're going to cry out for the mercies of God to be released. We're going to repent so that God's judgment doesn't take place. Repentance is powerful because within 40 days, the Lord was ready. He was done with these people. But we thank God for the mercy that he has shown to us all. We thank God for his grace. We thank God for his love. We thank God that he gives us time and time again to repent. Even wicked Jezebel. Even Jezebel. Man, we hear Jezebel's name and we be thinking like, oh girl. But even God gave her opportunity to repent. So if you out here thinking like, well, that was only repentance is only available to these people. Freedom is only available. No, it's available, but are you going to take it? Jezebel made a decision not to repent. So she made a decision to stay bound, to stay overtaken by the enemy, to be used by the enemy. And so we talked about repenting and then to renounce. To renounce is to make a formal declaration of your abandonment of something. So yeah, you can repent, but then there's a part where you renounce. Like you're going to make a formal declaration of your abandonment of something. It's literally to reject, to stop doing it. And it can be the rejection of or the abandonment of a belief that you have. It could be the rejection or the abandonment of some action or behavior that you are doing. It could be a rejection or an abandonment of a claim that you have stood by. Or it could be a rejection or an abandonment of an association. And so we see, you know, a lot of people now, this ain't new, but we're seeing it more and more frequently across social media. A lot of people are renouncing their associations with Greek organizations. And, you know, there's repentance happening and there's like formal declarations that are going out saying like, hey, I am no longer a part of this organization. And we see that happening and they're literally are choosing to quit being associated with that organization. They're choosing to leave. They're choosing to forsake everything that they went through in the past, or, you know, they're burning their letters. They're disassociating themselves with that thing. And that's not just for Greek organizations. We see that with people renouncing and coming out of agreement with the spirits that they have come into agreement with when it comes to abortion. So like demonic spirits, demons, things of that nature, like Molech, when it comes to abortion. And so when I talk about repenting and renouncing, again, I'm gonna keep shouting it to the rooftop. It isn't just for abortion. How do we know this, Ebony? Paul breaks it down. And he breaks down sin patterns. And in the book of Galatians, he begins to talk about these different sins. And in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, he talks about these works of the flesh. And he talks about how works of the flesh are how they are manifest. And then he begins to list them out. And so at first, I was just going to read it out to y'all. But I used to be a teacher. So by nature, I'm a teacher at heart, y'all. And I realized that sometimes we can be reading scriptures and they can be putting these words up and we don't even know what they mean. We have no idea what they mean. And so we're just hearing these words and we're like, oh, yeah. Yeah. And so you will begin to think that these don't apply to you because you don't even know what the word means. And so my purpose for today is to let you know that repentance and renouncing isn't just for abortion. And my goal and purpose is for you to see all of the other works of the flesh, all the other things that the Lord hates. And I want to break it down and define these things for us so that we can know, like, oh, snap, this is sin. This is the work of my flesh. I need to repent for this too. I need to make sure I'm renouncing this stuff too. So we ain't out here thinking like, oh, well, they did that, so they should do it. But meanwhile, we ignoring the thing that we're doing on the other side. Okay? So let's get into it. Okay. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21. I'm going to read it so y'all can hear the words. I'm going to do it in the New King James Version. I'm going to read it so y'all can hear the words. And sometimes it's like, y'all be saying stuff and it's like, do y'all really understand what we be saying? Like, I remember, I think in the King James Version, another version say other words. And I remember hearing that, I'd be like, what that mean? And, you know, if we don't go back and study these words or study the scriptures and all of that stuff, we'll find ourselves just skipping over stuff that doesn't have, like, a meaning to us, or we don't understand. And that's why our people perish for a lack of knowledge, okay? And so Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 to 21, it says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'm gonna see if I can pull up the KJV version. Lastly. KJV. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So imagine you at church and your pastor is reading from KJV. And you see it up on the screen and you looking like, lasciviousness, variance, emulation, seditions. You saying these words, he's like, what? Revelings? What in the national spelling bee is going on here? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is going on here? What is this stuff? And so you hear, like, oh, these are things that, like, these things, it's not just these simple little sins and stuff like that. It says those who practice these things, those who commit these things, those who perform these things, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. These things are serious. This is not something that we should play with. This is not something we should skip over and ignore. This is not something that we should just, okay, I heard the scripture. I don't know what none of these words mean, and I'm not going to go back and look. And so then you go and you walk away and you don't even realize that now you've heard it, whether you understood it or not, you've heard it. And you will have to give it an account. Like, you have to now be responsible because you've heard it. That's why you got to study and show yourself approved. So I'm going to break it down for y'all. Because I know people ain't going back to do it. Me, myself, wasn't going back to do it. And I'm pretty sure I heard this a zillion, gabillion times. And so when we talk about Galatians 5, 19 to 21, the first one, the work of the flesh, the first one says adultery. Now we understand what adultery is, but sometimes what I learned, we'll think we know something, but then when we start looking at like the Bible's definition, or when we start breaking down the synonyms and all of the different meanings of these words, especially like what they meant in the Bible times, we'll realize that, oh, this goes beyond just, you know, what I thought I knew. It's like how you have some words in a definition in a dictionary, they got like 3-4 definitions, but you only focus on the one that was needed for the spelling bee, for the spelling test. You know what I'm saying? Or for what, the dictionary test? I don't know. And so adultery, I'm gonna break it down. Adultery is voluntary, okay? Voluntary. I ain't talking about you was raped, okay? Because people like to argue and make excuses and say, well, but what about rape? If you was raped, it's not adultery, okay? If a married man raped you, you did not voluntarily participate. Even if you, for lack of better words, came, okay? Adultery is voluntary sexual intercourse between a married person and another person who is not his or her spouse. Okay, that's adultery. Number one, work of the flesh. And this doesn't mean, because I'm saying number one, it doesn't mean that this was the greatest one. It's just the one that came first on the list. Okay. And then number two, fornication. Fornication is sexual intercourse or sexual activity between people who are not married to each other, okay? Also can be referred to as sexual immorality. So when we're talking about sexual immorality in the Bible, when we're talking about fornication, it's the same thing, okay? And then when you start looking at like the blue letter Bible, it'll continue to break this thing down. Where fornication is illicit sexual intercourse. It can include, but is not limited to, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, intercourse with animals, because we got to talk about that too these days, sexual intercourse with relatives, aka incest, as well as sexual intercourse with a divorced man or a divorced woman. All of these fall under fornication, okay? It also, when you begin to look at like the Old Testament and things of that nature, fornication also referred to as the worship of idols. And so this is what I'm saying, because sometimes we think fornication is like, oh, somebody just having sex outside of marriage, but it's deeper than that. Like, yes, that's it, but then when you start really looking at like, when these words were also used, it was also used as the worship as of idols. Specifically when it came to like eating the sacrifices that were made or offered to idols. Okay. So you got adultery, you got fornication, and then we have uncleanness. And that's not just about your hands being dirty. Okay. It's like, it's not, come on, y'all, let's get to it. Let's get to it. Okay. Uncleanness is a lack of purity, or when someone has been defiled or polluted or has been deemed unhealthy or unfit. And so the Blue Letter Bible, if you start looking up the word uncleanness, it talks about a physical uncleanness, but in the moral sense, it's the impurity or the lustful or luxurious living. So you're living an immoral life. You're living an unholy lifestyle. You're living a lustful life. You're living a very luxurious life. It also refers to people who have impure motives. So if you are deceitfully wicked, if you are out here scheming, plotting, all of those things fall under uncleanness. When you're doing something in a deceptive manner, if you're deceiving people, if you're manipulating people, all of those things, and you have impure motives, that is called uncleanness. And those are also things we have to repent for. And so we got adultery, we got fornication, and we got uncleanness. And then we get into a big word. Maybe these words just big for me. I don't know. Lasciviousness. Okay. And that is to be filled with or showing sexual desire or lustful behavior or uncontrolled sensuality or indulgence. Like when you can't even control how you indulge in things. And so if you continue to study this word in BLB, Blue Letter Bible, it's called unbridled lust. It's also referred to as excess. It's also referred to as promiscuity. It's also referred to as being sexually unrestrained or having many casual relationships. Right? So you don't got no self-control. You sleeping with everybody. You doing your own thing. You out here just out here loose as a goose. Okay? It's also referred to as outrageousness when it comes to like excessiveness. When it comes to, it's just something you just real, it's just bad. Okay? Outrageousness. Also, having a lack of shame. So when it says lasciviousness, it's saying like you just, your feelings, your emotions, you just can't control yourself. You out of control. And it says, and you ain't got no shame about it. Like you just out here pimping, or I don't know what they call it these days, hiding, whatever. And you ain't got no shame in your game. You proud. It's also insolence, which is like very rude and disrespectful behavior. So all of these things literally fall under lasciviousness. So you got adultery, you got fornication, you got uncleanness, and then you have lasciviousness. And then number five is idolatry. Okay. And this is the worship at bare minimum. Idolatry is the worship of idols. Okay. This could look like an extreme admiration for someone or something. It could look like extreme love for someone or something. It could be also a reverence for something or someone. Anything that you have put above or in place of God, the one true God in your life, is idolatry. And so the Blue Letter Bible also talks about the worship of false gods or the worship of mammon. And we know that mammon is money, the love of money. And so when we find ourselves being so in love with the hustle, so in love with making the 6, 7, and 8 figures, that we put more time in investing in our business and learning and developing ourselves for our business, when we put more time in bettering our business, we find ourselves in idolatry to mammon because we're like, man, I gotta do all of this. I gotta work all these hours. I gotta put in all this time in order to hit my 6, 7, 8 figures. Meanwhile, you don't spend 1 hour in church. Meanwhile, you don't spend 30 minutes in prayer. Meanwhile, you don't even go to Bible studies. You're not even opening up. You don't know when the last time you opened up your word. It's called worship of mammon, which is idolatry. And we have to be careful because, like I said, sometimes we're saying, oh, like idolatry. I don't idolize people. I don't idolize things. But it's like, well, can you say that you put God before your job? Can you say that you put God before your spouse? Can you say that you put God before your children? Because come on, some of us, the idolatry is in our homes. It's not at the church. It's in your homes where you spend more time with your children and making sure they got the best life ever. Meanwhile, spiritually, you declining because you ain't opening up your word. You don't have a relationship with God. And you, or it could be your marriage. It's so many different things. And so we have to be careful with idolatry, as well as witchcraft, which is the practice of magic, the use of spells, or using magic or a supernatural ability to do various evil purposes, right? So sometimes when we think of witchcraft, we thinking of like the witches that come out on Halloween. We thinking that it's as simple as people on a broom, or we thinking that it's as simple as somebody doing magic tricks and things of that nature, or somebody who is like very openly casting a spell, right? Also, people who are like so in love and in tune with the nature that they like are tree huggers, they worship the trees. And y'all, we think that stuff in the shows, TVs, and movies be fake. I went to a very liberal college, and I remember one time this girl, I'm walking on my college campus, and we had like these little small trees. We had like a lot of trees in certain areas, and we had small trees. And I remember this girl, I mean, we on campus, it's middle of the day. And this girl is like in front of the tree like this. And then she would hug the tree. And every time you would see her, like on campus, I seen her multiple times in front of these trees. And you know, I'm thinking, I went to a very weird school. You just didn't know what to expect on my campus, okay? Like, you really didn't. I had never seen people talking about, I don't even know the name of the game that they played on Harry Potter, but like it's a whole thing at the school that I went to for undergrad. And you know, you would think that that stuff only happened in the movies, but out here in real life, they was doing it where they was riding on the brooms and doing whatever. I'm just walking the campus. And this stuff is happening. We think that this stuff is only in movies. We don't believe that spiritual things are real. And so these people with the affinity with nature and with the charms and all of these things, we think that it's just, a trend for people to be calling out these things, calling out the sage, calling out the waste beads, calling out all of these different products and things that are being founded or used for evil purposes. Even though you think that the sage is cleansing the air. No, it's not, baby girl. It's not, okay? All of these things are practices of witchcraft, okay? It's sorcery, it's the use. Listen, y'all, when you begin to start studying this word witchcraft, you will see something as simple as the use or administering of drugs. And if you keep going deeper and deeper, you start looking at like the Greek word pharmakia, and it literally talks about pharmacy and how like all of these drugs and things like that. Like even when you start talking about like marijuana and getting into that, you know, people be like, well, you know, God made this, it's from the earth and all of this stuff. It's like, okay. It's some buzz that's from the earth, but you ain't out here cooking them and eating them. Okay. So we can't be picking and choosing. It talks about, when it talks about witchcraft, it talks about poison. It talks about magical arts. So even if you're taking kids to like these magic shows and things of that nature, you're exposing them to witchcraft. And you're thinking like, oh, it's just fake art, magic. It's just funny things and what? No. It says literally the deceptions and the seductions of idolatry. It's witchcraft. Then you keep going and then it talks about hatred. Hatred is another work of the flesh. And it's this intense dislike or ill will towards someone or something. And so you're thinking like, well, you might be saying, I don't think I idolize nobody. I ain't practicing witchcraft, but do you have hatred for somebody? Like, who you hate? Who hurt you so bad that you literally got a strong dislike for them? You can't stand to see them. You can't stand to be around them. You hate them. It's a work of the flesh. Hatred is a work of the flesh. It also looks like having enmity against somebody. Or another word for enmity is like hostility. You beefing with people. You got hostility towards somebody or towards the organization. You got animosity, right? It also looks like you always being in opposition with somebody. So you can't never go and hang around your mom because of what she did. So you literally, even if you never say it, you hate your mama. Y'all got beef. Y'all animosity. Or your daddy. Oh, daddy wasn't around. Daddy didn't do this. Daddy didn't fulfill his promises. He wasn't there. Or mama allowed this to happen. Mama sold me for this. And so you hate that person. And you don't realize that that is a work of the flesh. And no matter what they did, you have a responsibility to repent for their hatred. No matter what they did. Remember, no excuses. No blame. Repent for how it impacted you. Repent for the hatred that you have in your heart for that person. Then it talks about variance. What is variance? When I hear the word variance, I start thinking statistics, and I don't like it. Okay? I don't like it. Variance is strife, discord, contention, this expression of enmity. So it's also like similar to hatred. And it's also associated with bitterness and selfish ambition. And so if you find yourself like bitter toward people or bitter toward someone, or like you just carry around and walk around in bitterness or strife, discord, like you can't get along with nobody. You always just, contention just follow you around. It's called variance. It looks like you always arguing and disputing with people. It looks like you can't get along with nobody. That is variance. You see how this stuff get real simple? And I'm going to talk about how it even get worse than this. Because this is stuff like you can see somebody arguing with somebody. You might be like, I don't be having time with arguing with people. But we're going to get to that. Because sometimes we only see in like, we only think about the physical manifestation of these things, but it goes much deeper than that. And so another work of the flesh is emulations. And this is the act of striving. The act of striving to equal or surpass others. Okay. It's often driven by jealousy. It's often driven by envy. It looks like you always trying to compete with somebody. Like, why are you trying to compete with me? Why are you trying to compete with her? Why are you trying to compete with him? Why are you trying to compete with your leaders? Why are you trying to compete with your boss? Why are you trying to compete with your coworkers? It's called emulation. Like, you just, I got to be better than these people. Not for the sake of just being a better person or being a leader. It's like, you always got to be in competition. You think people always in competition with you. And it literally looked like this deal. Like, oh, this person did this. Oh, I got to do better. This person wrote one book. I need to write three books. You know what I'm saying? It's like, chill. I'm not even trying to compete with you. I'm just doing what God told me to do. Why are you up here trying to compete with how many books? Sit down. Oh, this person posted this many videos. They went live this many times. Oh, I got to do this many times. If you don't sit down somewhere, it's envy. It's literally you are jealous. And you may never say this. That's why when I started talking about like how this thing is not just physical, a lot of these things stem from your heart. That's why we talked about the heart. It's wicked. And you cannot be following anything. But this stuff stems from your heart. Like you secretly jealous of your friend. You secretly jealous of your family member. You know, I remember y'all. I ain't gonna say no names, but I remember somebody told me years ago. And they was like, oh, I got married because you got married. But I got married because God told me that this is my husband and that we was going to get married on a certain date. That's why I got married. I ain't got nothing to do with you. We're not in competition. You know what I'm saying? But secretly, people are jealous. Secretly, people want what you have or what they think you have. They don't even know. They don't know your struggles. They don't know your sacrifices. They don't know your process, but they want what you have without going through your process. That same person who told me that, I kid you not, that same person who told me that they wasn't married for over a year before they got divorced. And they looked me dead in my face and said, I got married because you got married. And people were so proud of you. That thing is dangerous. Y'all got to be careful out here because it's people out here that's close to you who are jealous, who envy the things that you have. I can't even tell the other story. I'm working on something right now with somebody and can't even get into that right now. I can't. Maybe in a couple years I'll talk about it. Another work of the flesh is wrath. And we know like wrath is like this strong feeling of hatred. It's like hatred, but at another level. Or resentment. But it accompanies, it's not just simple as like, oh, I hate you or I resent you. It's accompanied with like, I want vengeance. It's like, I'm so mad at you. I'm so angry with you that I need to get this vengeance. Like, you did me so bad, I'm coming for you. And I feel in my wicked heart, in my flesh, I feel that I deserve to get this vengeance. You know, that's wrath. It's like that strong indignation or like you just feel vexed about this person. Like you gotta rap. I was just looking at, I was watching this show. I think, I don't even know. It's not a new show. It's a movie. And in this movie, I don't even know what it's called. Fast something. I don't know. And basically this guy, he ends up going to jail. And, before he goes to jail, his brother is murdered in front of him. And they were set up, all of the things, and the people thought they killed him, but he didn't die. Okay, boom. And so his brother is murdered. He ends up in jail. And his whole time in jail, which they don't even show, you know that he's like just building up his strength. He working out. He doing his thing. And so at the beginning of the movie, you see him getting out of jail. And I remember he's sitting in like the warden's office and the warden is like, hey, you know, it's going to be hard out there. You know, you've been locked up for 10 years. He did a dime. And it's going to be hard for you out there. Like, here's this car in case you need help, all of the things. And, you know, he's like, do you have any questions? And the guy's like, where's the exit? And so he gets out and immediately he goes and starts seeking revenge on everybody associated with the killing and the death of his brother, like to the point where he didn't care if he was caught on camera. He didn't care if he had a run in with the police. Like, he was just out here. That's wrath. Like, when you can walk up to somebody on a workplace with so many witnesses and shoot them, you know, dead in their head, like, wrath. And so, wrath, it's like this fierceness, like you passionately angry. Like, it's like you've been boiling up. This thing has been bubbling up in you for however long, and now you just gotta get vengeance. That's wrath. You gotta repent for that. If anybody gets you to that place, they got too much control over your mind. They got too much control, and you gotta let that thing go. And then you have strife. Strife looks like you bickering. It looks like you are at discord. It looks like a lot of quarreling. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's you always in this like ongoing conflict over a little simple stuff, fundamental issues. You just quarreling, mad, right? But it's going beyond like the basic disagreement. Like, you can be talking to somebody and be like, I don't agree with what you're saying. Let me see if I can get this light. Okay, let me try to go right here to get that light out. But it's like, it's not just like, man, I disagree with you. Like, you believe this, I believe this, we disagree. But it's like, you got this ongoing conflict going with people, just strife. Like, if you don't chill, you just bickering. People don't even know you got strife against them, but you gossiping with everybody about this person. And you thinking there's this ongoing conflict between you and that person. And the truth of the matter is, like, that ain't got no beef with you. You beefing with them. Let's see. Let's go back right here. Strife. And then you have sedition. So let me recap them right quick. So we talked about adultery. We talked about fornication. We talked about uncleanness. We talked about lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, and strife. And we got a few more, okay? Strife is also contention, like you just contention. Seditions, that's the next one. Seditions are disturbances that lead up to fighting, okay? And so it's like actions or speech, talking that incites rebellion, right, as well. And so this look like, you know, fighting don't got to be you throwing hands. It could be like you arguing, beefing with people on the internet, like y'all literally fighting over the internet. And so it's these disturbances that lead up to that kind of thing. And like I said, it also could look like actions or speech or words that incite people to rebel against like lawful authorities. And so in the Blue Letter Bible, it talks about how seditions also look like rebellion or dissension, which is disagreements that lead to discord. And then if you go to Romans, let me see, Romans 16, 17. Let's see if I can pull it up. Romans 16, 17. It says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching you have learned. Keep away from them. So when it's talking about watching out for those who cause divisions and put obstacles in your way that are contrary to the teaching that you have learned, this is what we call seditions. And so it's people who are causing you to be divided or hindered from you believing, from you standing on the things that you have learned in the Word of God, right? And it causes you to be rebellious against those teachings. And the Bible warns us to stay away from those people. Take what you need, okay? the next works of the flesh is heresies. And this, and we hear people, we hear people saying heresies all the time, heretics, all the things. And heresies is any belief or practice that explicitly undermines the gospel. Okay. So anything that undermines the gospel, it could be a doctrine, it could be a belief, it could be a claim, it could be a practice. Any of those things that deviates from the teachings of God, from the teachings in the Bible. You can't even really be saying Christianity like that because people be out here. You know what I'm saying? But technically, it's anything that deviates from the teachings of Christianity, from the teachings of the Bible. And so that's heresies. So when you hear people saying it, or if you hear somebody believing it or undermining what the Bible is saying, it's a work of the flesh. They in their flesh. Like if somebody's saying something to you and you immediately a scripture come up to your head, I'm like, well, this scripture, I know for a fact that there's a scripture that says this. Two things. You need to go back to that scripture. Make sure you interpreted it right. Make sure you got the context for it. And ask the Holy Spirit to like give you more understanding, wisdom, insight, clarity. And then you better do what they say and line up with this, because if not, you will be out here literally confused. You will be out here confused. And we don't want that. Okay. That's heresies. The other one, we got about four more to go. The other one is envyings. Envyings. And so it's hostile feelings towards someone because that person has something. And this doesn't just have to be, I think sometimes we think it has to be something as simple as, oh, this person has more money than me, right? When we hear people talking about envy or, oh, you envy somebody, a lot of times, oh, they have more than what I have. Or it may be like, oh, this person has a certain relationship. This person has a certain platform. This person has whatever it is. But when you begin to look at this word, it also talks about how this could also look like this person just got an advantage over you. They just got an advantage over you. Y'all moving this camera too much. It could be they have an advantage over you, that they have a certain benefit that you ain't got. They're in a certain position that you aren't in, and it can cause you to envy that person, right? Something that they have that you don't have, something that they possess that you don't possess, and now it's causing you to envy them. And you know what's crazy? Because you envying somebody could lead to you also idolizing them. Like, you want what they got so much that you begin to like idolize them. And so it's also a sinful state of jealousy. So when we're talking about envying, like this person got this and got this, that's jealousy. It's, you got to be careful of those people. I was just talking about how somebody came to me and literally told me like, oh, I got married. This is stuff that you don't expect people to say to you. Stuff that you don't normally hear. Like, people ain't talking about this. I think this is probably my first time saying this publicly, but somebody literally came up to me years ago and was like, yeah, I got married because you got married and people was proud of you and I just wanted that. That's envy. When you feel, you making decisions based off of a feeling because of something that I have that you don't have. Whether it's people was clapping, you know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't even just as simple as, oh, you got marriage, I don't got marriage. It was the people were proud of you. People were hand clapping you. People were bragging on you. And I wanted that. And so I got married. That's dangerous. It's a simple state of jealousy or resentment toward others for the blessings and the achievements that they have or have experienced. That's envying. These are the things that people don't be thinking that they need to repent for. Y'all, my side is hurting me. That's why I keep doing it. These are things that people don't think that they need to repent for, because you thinking like, that's not nothing deep. I didn't have no abortion. I didn't commit no murder. I'm not doing that. But it's like, no, just you being jealous of people. Just you wanting something other people have. You got, that's a work of the flesh. And it says these people who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom. And then you have murders, okay? And since I talk about this already, it's literally intentional, premeditated killing of another person with malice. It also looks like abortion. It also looks like slaughtering somebody. Like, it's all the same thing. Like, you don't make a mistake and have an abortion. You know what I'm saying? This is intentional killing. This is premeditated killing. I'm not talking about miscarriage, because people like to try to argue with you in your DMs talking about, well, what about miscarriage? That ain't intentional killing. Okay? This ain't what I'm talking about. And then you have drunkenness, okay? Because people like to play that game too, like, oh, I'm a Christian, but I drink. I'm a Christian, but I curse a little. All that kind of stuff. Drunkenness. It's a state of inebriation or intoxication where a person is overwhelmed or overpowered with liquor, alcohol, or spirits. Like, that alone, y'all. Come on now. That's how we know a lot of people are out here spiritually blind. Because why are these places called wine and spirits? But y'all be thinking, y'all too deep. It's like, it literally says wine and spirits on the outside of the building. Like, why are we going to purchase wine and spirits? And then people want to argue like, well, I don't get drunk. I just like to sip wine for dinner. I don't do this. I don't do that. It's okay. Just play with God. And it says it leads to disordered reasoning or physical impairment. And it's a work of the flesh that has to be repented for. It's intoxication or excess of wine, all of the things. And you know what? I heard somebody recently say, well, drinking wine is not a sin. Okay, cool. And then their argument is always, well, like, that was the first miracle. Jesus turned water into wine. Did you know that Jesus wasn't even trying to do that? Like, if you read that whole story, Jesus wasn't, he didn't walk up in that thing like, yeah, I'm finna do this miracle. His mama was like, do whatever my son tell you to do. And he's like, I didn't even come here to do none of this. He did it out of honor for his mom. So we try to use that as like, oh, Jesus was out here turning up. He gave them the best of the best. You know what I'm saying? Anywho, then you got revelings. The last one is revelings. That is noisy partying. Come on, you turn up at the house party, at the club, at the kickback. It's noisy partying or disorderly behavior associated with partying. That's a reveling. It also could look like rioting. So a lot of times we trying to argue like, when people are out here at these, what's the name? I got a mental block. At these, not parades. I can't even think of the name of them. But they're going because these people are getting killed and you're going to protest. Protest is what it is. And they get out of control and y'all doing all kinds of stuff. And it turns into rioting. It turns into disrespect. It turns into people getting hurt. It turns into people fighting. It turns into people going back and forth. You know what I'm saying? Even the stuff that's been happening on these college campuses with the whole Israel versus the Palestinians and all that kind of stuff. That stuff is called revelings. On both ends. And it's a work of the flesh that needs to be repented from. Not, and then it goes above that and it says, and the like. Because then we'd be like, well, I ain't did this. It says, and the like. And anything relating to, and anything similar to. This also applies, okay? And so I'm going to cut it off here because we had an hour, but I'm also in the next one, I'm going to continue this. I'm going to do like a part two or something because here I talked about Galatians chapter 5, 19 to 21, but I also want to continue talking about like repentance and renouncing is not just for the ones I just said. We're going to talk about six things that the Lord hate, which we also got to repent for because it says seven are an abomination to him. And so we got to go and we got to talk about these because we also have to repent and renounce these things as well. And these things get even more simpler. So if we didn't cover your thing in this video, come back to the next one. We probably going to cover it. And it's going to be some of them are the same. Some of them are even more simple. And some of them are the things that you're doing every single day, every other day. And you thinking you good telling your little white lies. But we're going to get into the next video. I hope this blessed y'all. I hope this encouraged y'all. I hope this informed you all. And after this video, I pray you get to a place where you like, okay, Lord, that's me. This one that she called out, me. I carry hatred for this person in my heart. Oh, Lord, this one that she called out, I do envy this person. Lord, this one that she called out, I have been a part of these riots. I have been a part of the one sowing discord. I have been a part of the one who have caused division. I have been the one who has, just been competing with people because I want what they have, because I'm jealous of them. Oh, yeah, I have been the one who has been, you know, practicing witchcraft. I have been the one who have been idolizing mammon, who have been idolizing money, who have been idolizing my job, my children, my spouse, my marriage. I have been the one who have been living an unholy or impure life. I walk around with impure thoughts. I have, Lord, I repent. Okay. So I'm not just telling you these things so you can know them. Like I'm telling you these things so that you can acknowledge them in your life so it can bring you to a place of repentance and renouncing. So you can get your freedom. Okay. Come on out that cage, sis. Come on out that cage, bro. Okay. And I'll see y'all in the next video.